going to continue in Romans chapter 6 this morning. And we'll read from verse 6 to the end of the chapter.
Christian.
Those are all that happened, that God did. So there are things that we should know. And we believe. And we make that our foundation. But now, Paul starts to talk about what we do. It's not just Jesus did that and now we're just happy until the end. Jesus paid the price for your sins, so now you just happily continue to sin. Your salvation is certain, so you go and live like an animal. Doing whatever you want. No, not at all. See, now Paul turns towards how we work this out in our lives. And so he starts to mix serious doctrine with practical living. And one of the first things that strikes me about this section is how many times Paul says, we know. We know. In verse 6 he says, we know our old self was crucified with Jesus. In verse 8 it says, if we die with Christ, we believe we will live with him. In verse 9 it says, we know. So we know, we believe, we know. It says in verse 11, consider yourself dead to sin. Count yourself as dead to sin. What's amazing about this is it's all about what you know. Paul is saying this is true. This is the real fact of the matter. It's not about how you feel. It's not about some experience of goosebumps. I was standing in worship and I just felt the presence of God.
Jesus died.
consider yourself dead to sin.
De-a două de-a, ni se nu-i mati ne-a unui ca eu cum te-a nou.
And alive to God in Christ Jesus.
A vela, oana gemantă o Christi Iisus.
In fact, in verse 6, the first few words,
it
says, we know our old self was crucified. The grammar can actually be translated like this. Know this. The old self was crucified. If it's translated that way, which is probably is what probably it should say. It's the first command or the first imperative in this whole letter. Six chapters in. God brought Israel out of Egypt.
Egipten, Israelien.
And he said, now worship me. And they made the golden calf. And worshipped an idol. You see, they were free. They made the wrong choice. And you as a Christian are free. And Paul is saying, now make the right choices. Sin no longer controls you. So rule over it. How do you do that? Rather than presenting yourself to sin, you present yourself to God. You're not under law. You're not under sin. You're under grace. Which means there's power. And you can say, now God, I'm going to choose to do what pleases you. In verse 14, Paul says, sin will have no dominion over you. And now you would think he would say, because you're not under sin. But he actually says, since you are not under law, but under grace. Paul is claiming that those under grace are even less likely to sin than those who are under the law. Why is that? It's because the grace of God empowers us. The law doesn't empower. The law condemns. It shows you what you should do, but it doesn't help you do it. Paul says we must stay under the grace of God where we find the power. He says, since we are free from being under sin, we are free from being under sin. We're not under condemnation or under law. Then we're free to fight sin. And for the first time ever, we were able to win. And then he explains that human beings are always slaves. That sounds negative.
It
can be if you're a slave to sin. But you can also be a slave to righteousness. And in verse 16, he explains to you that, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. So he's saying, in practical terms, you reap from what and where you sow. Even as a Christian, in this great freedom, you can now go and give yourself to sin, which is going to make a mess of your life. He doesn't say you're going to lose your salvation. He just says, you're making yourself a slave to sin. you sow that way, you will reap what sin gives you. Sin will give you destruction and death. Think of Israel. They were free, but they belonged to God. And they were freed in order to worship God. And then they worshipped a golden calf. And they became slaves again in a way to that sin that they were worshipping. But our hearts as Christians are better off than Israel. Because in verse
17,
Paul says, thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart. Two very important things there. Thanks be to God. You thank someone related something. You thank someone when they gave you a gift. Thanks be to God. You've become obedient from the heart. Israel had a heart problem. Their heart was not for God. Their heart was adulterous. It kept running after idols. And God promised He would fix them of their backsliding, He would heal them. And so He gave a new heart when Christ came. And we are born again. We become a new creation. The fulfillment of what God promised. So thanks be to God. I have become obedient from the heart. As a Christian, the new me wants to obey God. And the old me
has
been crucified with Christ. Know this. Your old self is dead. Your new self has a heart for God. Now it's important to make this distinction. The old self is not the flesh. The flesh still exists. The sinful nature is tied up with this body. And the flesh is there still with its appetite for sin. The old self was like Israel, a slave to sin. But thanks be to God, the old self is crucified. The new self is free from the power of sin. The new you has a heart to obey God. However, verse 18 says, having been set free from sin, you've become a slave of righteousness. So Paul says there's only two ways you can live now. A slave slave to sin? Or a slave to righteousness? Verse 16 says, a slave of sin or a slave of obedience? In verse 17 and 18 it says, you're a slave of sin or a slave of righteousness? In verse 22 it says, you're a slave of sin or a slave of God? And in verse 19, he apologizes for this analogy. He says, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. Paul's trying to use a natural example of slavery. To talk about something supernatural and much greater. He's speaking about salvation. But he's having to use an earthly analogy, an earthly example of slavery. So he's saying your salvation is actually even greater than this. But to help you understand it, you can think of it in terms of slavery. You're a slave to the one you obey. But now that you've been set free from sin, you don't have to obey anymore. Israel was powerless to do the right thing. But you as a Christian have power from God to do the right thing. Right now God is standing ready to give you His grace. To live for Him. To live a righteous life. To be a slave to righteousness. To be a slave to God. But you have to choose. You have to say, God, I want to do that with my life. I want to give it to you, I want to serve you, I want to live for you. And then Paul moves on to the subject of sanctification. And he talks about the fruit you get when you choose to make God your master. Let's read from verse 20 to 23. But Paul says, live like that.
Help us to cooperate.